Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Hilton. My wife, Reza, and I have the privilege of serving on the eldership team at The Crossing Church, which is led by Brad and Sharissa Lane. It's just always such a privilege, friends, to preach the Word of God. This morning is no different to that, and being Resurrection Sunday, it's just an honor to be here with you. I think it's the 15th or 16th day of our lockdown here in South Africa. I'm not too sure. Actually, I know that it's Sunday. That I know for sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What is important is that it's Easter and we get to be together. And despite our circumstance, today we get to remember, we get to consider one of the most significant aspects of the gospel, the resurrection. There is no gospel message, friends, without Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection is essential to the gospel. It changes our reality we live in. Christ's resurrection is essential to our faith. And on Good Friday, Richard preached and just showed us the Old Testament foreshadows, which all pointed to Christ's death and how Jesus fulfilled every aspect of this in every minute detail. Right to the moment of being led like a lamb to the slaughter in his ultimate death. But that's not where the story ends. There is no Good Friday without a Resurrection Sunday, as they say. So we're not called to be a people that are fixated at his death, but rather, as Richard said on Sunday, it's with much excitement that we move beyond and journey beyond the cross to his resurrection. And so the cross leads us to something, friends, and leads us to somewhere. And to a person, and it's the resurrection into Jesus. So looking at Paul's encouragement even to the church of Corinth, which we all know well, where he said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you yet are in your sins. So the resurrection is significant. Jesus Christ being risen is profoundly important. So today, this Resurrection Sunday, is a day that we remember with much gravitas. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, Paul speaking to Timothy said, "Always remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach." Every day should be Easter Sunday for us, friends. Every day for us as Christians should be Resurrection Sunday. Given its significance, every aspect of our life should flow from the resurrection of Jesus. Every day we should remember the resurrection of Jesus. The situational effects, yes, and circumstances around the COVID pandemic at the moment are causing us to consider many other things at the moment. But the word is clear. Let us consider who is our anchor and what our lives are anchored to. Our lives are not redefined by a pandemic. Sure, they will have a major effect on our lives, but it doesn't change the reality of our lives. And so, I mean, just looking at many news headlines, bloggers and business leaders all just quoting what we must quickly do to adjust to our new reality in our lives. And at first, I'll be honest, I also got caught up in the notion that there's a new reality. And yes, things are changing and many things will need to change and we need to make some changes. But actually, when we sit before God, when we look at his word, when we bow down before him in worship, like we did this morning, we realize that our reality actually hasn't changed. Operational execution of things around us might, but not our general purpose and the reality surrounding that. Our reality is wrapped up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that doesn't change. It is eternal. We rose up with Christ into a new life because of his sacrifice, because of his death, because he rose again. As believers, we have a new reality. The reality of the resurrected King is what defines our lives as believers. We don't look at circumstances to define our reality. He defines our reality. He anchors us. His resurrection anchors us. Jesus paid the penalty of our reality we deserved on the cross, and the resurrection allows us now to walk freely into all of this. So the portion of scripture I want us to look at this morning to just explore the significance of the resurrection is Luke chapter 24, verse 36, all the way through to 49. Just before we dive into verse 36, let me just give some context as to where we are in Luke. So in the previous chapter, chapter 23, Jesus was crucified. And we read that Jesus, and we read that Jesus prayed that the soldiers would be forgiven. And he told one of the thieves, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And he then commended his spirit into his father's hands, died, and was buried in the tomb. And on the first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath, the angels appeared at the tomb and announced the resurrection of Jesus to the woman that had gone there to anoint his body. And they were told by the angels to take the news across to the apostles. The resurrected Jesus then appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and to Peter and to the 11 apostles, who were also witnesses, obviously, of his suffering, his death, and his physical resurrection. So this is where we come in verse 36, where the disciples had obviously gathered together. The doors were all locked up, which is somewhat of our current times. I'm not sure about you, but I've been closing my doors more intentionally lately, almost as though the virus can come in and invade my home, which is obviously not the case. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus is with the disciples, and this is where we're going to pick up in verse 36 of Luke chapter 24. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB version, a lacquer version. You should get it, you'll enjoy it. And the portion of scripture in the version is titled "The Reality of the Risen Jesus." So verse 36, "As they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst. He said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. 'Why are you troubled?' he asked. 'And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have.' Having said this, he showed them his hands, but while they were still amazed and in disbelief because of their joy, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. He told them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" Verse 45, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, 'This is what is written: the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" Our last two verses, 48 and 49. "You are witnesses of these things. And look, I'm sending you what my father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high." Sure, just an incredible thing, the reality of the risen Jesus and how this impacts our lives. The realness, the truth that he rose, has changed our reality for an eternity. For me, in this scripture, I see five major points of how the reality that Christ is risen has permanently changed our current reality. Just five ways. Number one, our reality has changed because he is with us. He is with us, friends. Number two is our reality has changed because we are called to live a Jesus-like life of service unto others. Number three, our reality has changed because he wants to have relationship with us. He desires to have a relationship with us. Fourthly, our reality has changed for an eternity. And number five, his resurrection has changed our purpose to exist. So I want to quickly dive into all five of these ways. And the first way that the reality of Jesus' resurrection has changed is because he is with us. The fact that there was a resurrection means that he was with us. Just going back to that initial verse 36 there, the reality of the fact that he rose again, the only religious leader who has ever risen from the dead, the fact that he himself stood in their midst means and proves that on this day, right now, he is even with us. If we've allowed him to rule and reign in our lives, he is faithful and he stands with us. Our everyday realities are even changed by his tangible presence in our lives. He is with us. He dwells with us. He lives in us. He lives with us. He himself stood in their midst. That means he's with us. And what does Jesus say to us when he's in our presence? I guess what he said to them, peace be with you. Crossing Church, peace be with you. The reality of the risen Jesus means that we have a Savior, a Redeemer, not a ghost or a friend, but a friend that sacrificed his life for us, that would ask, what troubles your heart, my friend? His resurrection means that today, friends, he is asking us the same question and telling us the exact same things. Peace be with you. The reality is that he rose means that he is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, who touches and sees and cares about our every reality in our lives. And the reality of the resurrection changes the reality that he is with us. He had compassion. He still has compassion for us. He cares for us. He cares whether I have doubts arise in my heart or whether I have worries or not. This is the reality in which we live. We live in the reality of a loving, caring Jesus who was always by our side, and it creates a reality. This reality creates a confidence, a surety in our lives, a confidence in who he is, a confidence that when we speak to him, a confidence when we pray, a confidence when we step into the things that he's called us to. Friends, it's a wonderful thing. The second reality is that the resurrection defined that we are to be called his hands and feet, and that we are as disciples of his. When he told his disciples to look at his hands and his feet, he was talking to us. How do we look at his hands and his feet even today? Where are his hands and feet? Well, let me ask you this question. What does the word say about the body of Christ? It's us. The word says that the church is the body of Christ. The church, us, the community of Jesus. We are his hands and feet. I know it's a very Christianese type of cliche thing to say, or it sounds like almost an Instagram post, but it's the truth. Because of his resurrection, the fact that he was really alive in their midst means that he is alive in our midst. And because of that, we can portray and reflect him. We are his body. I love the phrase is actually rooted from 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27. We are the members of his body. Stop and just think about that for a moment. We, because of our faith in him, through the belief in the reality of his resurrection, we, the very embodiment of him, love itself. What a responsibility. You see, friends, if I'm to be the hands and friends of Jesus, then I should probably begin by knowing what Jesus did with his actual hands and his feet. And for one, the very marks in his hands and feet were the marks of love, sacrifice, and service. Being the hands and the feet of Jesus simply means communicating the love of Christ to the people he created. You don't need to fix all the problems around you, the many crises that will come. You just need to love people. John 13, verse 35, this is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other. This morning, look at your hands right now, even where you are. Look at your feet and realize this, that the reality of his resurrection means that these hands can be used to bring him glory and for his love to be spread. The third reality of the resurrection that we call to is a relationship that we called into a relationship and fellowship with Jesus. The resurrection defines the reality and absolute necessity for us to spend time in his presence. Just going back to verse 42, where he said, they gave him a piece of fish and he took it and he ate in their presence. Jesus wants to commune with us. Jesus could have chosen many other things, activities, demonstrations, which he did over this time, but he chose to fellowship with his disciples. He wants to commune with us, friends. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to eat with us. He wants to enjoy time with us in His presence, because He knows it's there in His presence, spending time with Him, that everything we face becomes so small in the greatness of His presence. Everything we think carries importance just totally shifts and changes to what His heart deems to be important. And fourthly, the reality that the resurrection defines is a big one. It's our eternal life. The fact, friends, that He rose again means that we too have life beyond the cross through our faith in Jesus Christ, placing our complete hope, faith, trust, and our whole lives in His hands. The picture of our eternity changes. The reality of the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection, defined for all time the reality of our eternal life. Now, there will be things that change circumstantially around us. There will be storms. There will be COVID-19s. There will be struggles. There will be lack. Jesus never promised our lives would be exempt from any of these troubles. But His resurrection altered our eternal life. And that's what's key. An eternity that is unchangeable in His resurrection. An eternity that was written and prophetically anticipated. As we read earlier, where we see Jesus say in verse 44, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead and dead the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." If the scriptures were not fulfilled, if Jesus didn't die, suffer, bear the sins of the world upon Himself, if He was not raised from the dead, if Jesus didn't rise again, our faith is in vain. Our eternity would be uncertain and unclear. Our eternal life is not defined only by His death, but that He rose again. The fact that we know and believe that He rose again means that we get to know Him. That's the beauty of it. Just look in your Bibles with me, if you would, just at another scripture of John chapter 17. We're going to look at John chapter 17, verse 1 to 3 together. Again, it will come up on the screen. Jesus, in verse 1, spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you gave Him authority over all flesh, so that He may give eternal life to everyone you have given Him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent." Our everlasting life is made possible, friends, by His death and His resurrection today in our lives. John 3 verse 16 says this. This is the exact reason why Jesus came. "For God so loved the world in this way. He gave His only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life." And how do we grab hold of this eternal life purchased for us at the cross? Well, the scripture this morning is very, very clear. It would be proclaimed by the death and resurrection. There is forgiveness of sin through repentance in His name. So there's acceptance and belief that this isn't just some Easter story, but that this is a recollection, a biography, if you will, of a real life recorded account, a true real story, real facts. There's then the acceptance that this life, this Jesus, was and is the Son of God who was crucified for your sins in order that you can repent and walk in the freedom He has purchased, declaring all of those sins cancelled out and reconciling you to the Father. Peace between mankind and God, sanctified and justified by His blood and the power of His resurrection. That's the reality of salvation and eternal life. Lastly, the reality of the resurrection is the very definition of our purpose. Verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things. And look, I'm sending you what my Father promised. As for you, he says, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. Now here Jesus is telling them that they are witnesses to his death and his resurrection power, reminding them that the prophecy spoken about him had been fulfilled. He is also speaking of the promise of the Holy Spirit that is to be poured out. And so when you read through just the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the four disciples that wrote the closest account of Jesus' life on earth, and you move on to Acts, where the Spirit is poured out and where the disciples are empowered on high, as Jesus is saying in this portion of Scripture. If we look at just Matthew and Mark, their last chapter speaks of the Great Commission and the destiny and the calling Jesus himself instructed into our lives to be his disciples. So Matthew 28, let's look at that together. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, the Father, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are called by Jesus, friends, to ensure that we take him, who he is, what he has done, the freedom we live in, and the eternal life he has promised to us, to take that to the ends of the earth. Also that all people might walk in the reality of the resurrection, the reality that he is with us, that we are his hands and feet, that in the light of his presence, everything else fades, that there is a wonderful fact that all who confess his name to be Lord and believe in him will not taste death, but receive eternal life. Friends, these are the things that we consider this morning. Eternal life. If you this morning have been listening just to the scripture and just hearing just how Jesus desires, friends, he desires for you to have eternal life. But more than that, he desires that you would have a life of abundance. Perhaps, friends, that's you this morning, and you're just hearing Jesus speaking into your heart to say, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to commune with me. I want you to commune with the Father. I want to reconcile you to the Father. Friend, if that is you this morning, I want to encourage you, won't you reach out across any one of our platforms? We've got teams in place that are available to give you a call right now this morning. And we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear just the conversation that you've possibly had in your heart with the Lord this morning. So it's been a great time together. I'm really excited by, as you can see, just the resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus, and just the fact that our realities do not change. And so I want to pray and just close out, and then I'm going to hand over to Tony and Sandy, who are going to take us through just a bit of feedback on Crossing Cares and Kaya Manzi. So Lord, yes, we thank you for your word this morning that has reminded us in a significant way, Lord, that the resurrection is not just something that we look at and wonder its purpose. And we also don't just look at the resurrection and say, Lord, I wonder how that changes my life, Lord. When we look at your resurrection and the power of the resurrection, that you, Lord, are risen, Lord, that you are alive, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father right now, and you are with us, Lord. We realize this, Lord, that our realities are affixed to that, Lord, and that we don't have to in any way, Lord, be disturbed or worried or concerned or troubled, Lord. We are affixed to you as our ultimate reality, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us one another, Lord, to be your hands and your feet too. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are able, Lord, to work through us, Lord, that your Spirit is able to be with us, Lord, to be in us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we bless your name, and we thank you for this wonderful time together, Lord, this significant, monumental moment of remembering the reality of the resurrection. We bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, folk. Thank you so much.